And we thank you for being with us, Jason Ross, Damian Barling, third hour of the Lowdown. The text line here at 44-1140 has never reacted so unanimously and venomously to a phone call as they did Kenny there with his trade proposal.
That's our guy.
We look. Oh, yeah.
He just needed some food.
Nothing mean.
Okay.
Nothing egregiously mean.
Were they questioning the barbershop?
A little bit.
Oh, yeah.
They were questioning what was going on in the barbershop. Okay. That would spark, get it? See where I'm going? Or perhaps he was drinking that blue stuff that they keep in the bar. Yeah, perhaps what it was that. Guys? Yeah, it was an interesting trade proposal there from Kenny where he basically had the Cavs and the Warriors swapping roster. He wants us to chew on it, though. Hopefully Ken got some food. Yeah, we did. It didn't take long.
We're done.
Yeah, didn't take long. Thank you there for that. We established I'll be the guy whose career burns out in 5 years, but had a really good 5 years, and you'll just keep marching along winning championships over a 15-year span.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think that fits our personalities brilliantly.
I think so too.
No update. Derrick Rose is meeting with Cleveland. I thought we might have – it's 5 o'clock. It's 5 Eastern. There's no way they're going to release it now. I thought we might have something out of there. He was going to meet. I think the – what was the offer, like $2 million? I think they – I wonder if LeBron called him and said, hey, man, you want to be the starting point guard for a team that's probably going to the Eastern Conference Finals? Come on down.
Here's your spot.
We got you.
Yeah.
We got you. Who knows what we'll get in return for Kyrie, but we got you here. We've obviously talked a lot about – the situation between the Cleveland Cavaliers, Kyrie Irving, how LeBron James figured into all of this. If you weren't with us for the 12 o'clock hour, I am of the firm belief that LeBron James and his camp are the ones who leaked this information out there just simply by process of elimination. Jason, you had a great point. It absolutely could have been Kyrie's team, given that they put in this trade request a few weeks ago. You said maybe there wasn't enough movement. Maybe they didn't feel like there was enough traction. So they decided, okay, let's make this public. I think LeBron's camp has much, much more to gain by getting this information out there. And they have I think LeBron is always about, especially since the disaster of the Decision television show, he is about getting ahead of everything. And I think that's what he did.
Oh, I agree.
Or his
that.
Team did with this.
But based on, hey, I'm no trade clause and all that. Let's say they do come up with a deal for Kyrie. Mm-hmm. And I can't even paint the scenario that I'm going to give you here, but let's say it's unanimously just ripped. Like, they got nothing back in return, is what people believe. Mm-hmm. LeBron's tone change at all? Like, if they're still kind of crippled on, they're not going to be able to move people, and let's say it looks like it's really just LeBron and Love now, and those other role players, and you're going, I don't know that they maximized what could be his final year in Cleveland.
Does LeBron change his stance on the no trade clause? Mm-hmm. Of because he was adamant that he would not be traded. He would not waive his no trade clause for anything. Are you saying,
could
a
that
bad
be a
trade
scenario that would open all of a sudden for him?
Nope.
You don't see it?
Nope.
So he's willing to play. Let's say, I mean, people believe like, doesn't even matter, but if they're like the fifth seed,
you're
now,
not taking into account the most important thing when it comes to LeBron James.
What's that?
His ego.
That he think he
will not allow himself to be traded. He will go from Cleveland to Miami, to wherever he wants. He is going to remain in firm control of everything he does through his entire career.
Yeah, but couldn't it be like Carmelo's in a sense where, the Knicks can say we're trading you to Sacramento. It's like, nope, I don't accept that. But you're trading me to Houston? Oh, I'll accept that.
Nope.
LeBron won't let that happen?
Nope. I don't think LeBron will ever want the tag of being traded. Because there's something associated with that. Because when the story is told 15 years from now, the long-form story, the 30 for 30, if you will explain the entire
all of
thing.
It, right.
The quick career one-down will say, yeah, he played for the Cavs. They got close. He went to Miami, is this disastrous television show, and then they came out, like the Jackson 5 or the Jackson 3 during this big smoke-filled a parade before the championship, basically, is what they did there in Miami. Won a couple of championships, went home, won that elusive title there in Cleveland, and then was traded to the Lakers. That's how the story would be told. I don't think he wants that. He came, he won the championship for the Cleveland Cavaliers. When things got pretty murky there his final year, he opted out of his contract, decided to go sign with the Los Angeles Lakers, where his three best friends, Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, and Dwayne Wade, all joined him there on what appears to be some of the most ridiculous contracts ever signed.
Yeah.
At least for players of his caliber. Even players of their caliber to a certain level.
Right.
But I don't think his ego will ever, ever allow that to happen. Even if it is him coming and saying, look, you can trade me here and only here, I don't think he'll allow it. Because LeBron, I used the line earlier, J. Ross, that I thought LeBron James was the most powerful man in sports. And when I say that, I mean, I don't think a player has ever been able to influence a league, an entire league, the way that LeBron James does. There will be guys who sign their five-year max extensions to get their maximum amount of money. Carmelo did it. Carmelo was the only one of that group. We often leave Bosch out, but Bosch is one of those guys,
same
too.
Class, yeah.
Chris Paul, Dwayne Wade, all of those guys, they signed the same deals with the same opt-outs. Carmelo's the only one who on both occasions took the extra year. He wanted to get that money. But when you look at Kevin Durant's deal with the Golden State Warriors this past offseason, that's LeBron James influenced. Not because he's looking at what LeBron is going to do. He looks at what LeBron did. These 1 year deals, and I think you're going to see a lot more of it, these one and ones that guys like KD signed. He set the standard for that because it allows him to remain in full control of everything he does through his entire career. And when you're the caliber, and there aren't many, of LeBron and Kevin Durant, and obviously Steph Curry signed his big deal, but he's the only other one on that level. When you're a player of that caliber, those types of deals allow you to remain not only in full control of your career, but in full control of what the organization does.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was put out there, I think, right away. Griffin and Gilbert were nervous. Like, you're going to sign a one-and-one? Like, you have the opportunity to leave next year? Look, my intention isn't to leave, but I need to know that you're committed to this team before. I can't commit myself to this team for 4 years not knowing that you're fully committed for the next 4 years. So Dan Gilbert, to his credit, went out there and did everything he told LeBron that he would do. He went out there and spent money. He went way over the salary cap, went into the luxury penalties, went into the repeater luxury penalties. So that is all influenced by LeBron. There's no rebuilding under LeBron's watch.
Right.
And I think those types of deals that you see, I mean, we're talking about, like, think about this. We're talking about Chris Paul, Carmelo Anthony, Dwayne Wade, and LeBron James. We are realistically having conversations about them being on the same team next year because we've seen LeBron do. They can't all play for max salaries.
There's no way. It can't fit them all in.
We've seen three guys play on max salaries, but that works when one guy is already there. You can't bring in four new guys and put them on max contracts. The NBA won't. There's no way to make that work. They're coming in to wherever they're going, if this happens, on sweetheart deals. And if it does, no one's going to be surprised. They're going to be like, yeah, we all saw this coming. This is it. And I think that's where LeBron's power lies. I think he influences the entire direction of the National Basketball Association.
And if that is at all their plan in any way, shape, or form, doesn't it make the most sense for it to happen in Cleveland? He's already there. They're in the East. That's the better spot to be to increase your chances of being a champion. And then it's about getting the other guys there on, as you said, the term sweetheart deals.
Mm-hmm. You're not factoring in the most important thing again.
Dan Gilbert?
LeBron's ego.
Yeah.
And Dan Gilbert.
Right. But I just don't know
I don't think he would allow – LeBron would not want that on Dan Gilbert's
what,
resume.
The success?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what does he want more?
I think he'd also rather do it – all of his boys there partying it up in Cleveland – or partnering it up in Los Angeles or doing movies together, commercial. I don't know. I'm just throwing things out there. But one thing that we have learned this year that we've had confirmed from people we've had on this show, including our KHDK NBA insider Sam Amick, that relationship between those two is still extremely icy.
Oh, I believe that 100%.
LeBron and Dan Gilbert, yeah. That is still a very, very icy and dark, dark relationship.
Yeah, I don't see it getting better either.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you're LeBron and you have the opportunity to bolt, and all of you are Dwayne Wade, regardless of what happens with him this year, he's a free agent next year. Carmelo, regardless of what happens with him this year, can opt out next year. And
LeBron, of course.
Obviously, and LeBron. And then Chris Paul. Chris Paul, remember, Chris Paul didn't sign a deal with the Houston Rockets.
Yeah.
It wasn't a sign and trade with the Clippers and the Rockets. He opted in after we had all just assumed he was going to opt out and sign a new deal.
Yeah. It was just a trade.
That's it. That's all it was, a straight up trade.
I just don't know where. I mean, again, I think it's easiest to get done in Cleveland. The other spot doesn't have to be easy, but wherever they go, especially if it's the West, begs the question, are you better than the juggernaut that is the Warriors? And you may not be in the East, but you might meet them and play them.
You know, you talked about Cleveland making the most sense. The place that I think makes the most sense is go back to Miami.
Hmm.
Spoelstra's there. You know you got your coach.
Yeah.
You're in the East. You have to beat the
Wade
Celtics.
Would like that.
You have to beat the Celtics, who we still or Woody?
I think he would.
Given the way that ended there with Pat Riley and LeBron and D Wade. But let's say they squash all that. Okay. You have to beat Washington. You have to beat a Celtics team we're still not quite sure about. All signs have Paul George going to the Lakers, so you don't have to worry about him going to one of those two teams. Jimmy Butler's in Minnesota for another year after next season. So there's not a big power shift in the Eastern Conference. People got DeMarcus going to Los Angeles for whatever reason.
What about Chicago?
Hoiberg? I felt like D. Wade and Hoiberg didn't
really.
Oh, they'd
get him out.
Oh, go. He's just
he has no chance.
Let LeBron coach?
Well, whoever they agree to.
I feel like any Eastern Conference team works. Obviously, there's the tie-ins with Chicago. There's the tie-in with Miami. I'm convinced. I am wholeheartedly certain if you could trade owners or if LeBron. I feel like LeBron and his team have spent like a year trying to figure out how to like impeach Dan Gilbert.
Mm-hmm.
Like maybe they've had someone like follow. Like how can we get this guy out of here?
Yeah. We got to change his ownership. Good luck with that.
Right, right.
Yeah.
And that will truly signify LeBron's power, right?
If he gets that done.
I have been able to get an owner out of this. This isn't
That's
a Donald Sterling situation.
Right.
This is just a situation where we were able to get this guy out of here.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Hey, don't underestimate him.
Yeah, it's true.
Stranger things have happened. But that just caught my attention because I told you I saw a text on the text line. Right after we had signed off yesterday, that said something about owners need to do something about these players demanding trades. Why?
Mm-hmm.
Like why do we want owners to have so much more power than players? I don't understand that. Like few of us listening are owners, right? We're players in the scheme of our jobs. We're players. Now there are some people that are listening that are owners, and good for you. I'm a player. You're a player.
Mm-hmm.
Chris is a player. But when it comes to, like, our sports, like, we get offended when a player says, you know what, I want something different. Like, they can't, you know, much like a lot of us out there, you're under contracts, you have to stay somewhere.
Yeah.
If I want to get out of this contract, if I want to go work somewhere else, I have to go, if I want to go work at another radio station, I have to go ask. I want to be let out, I want to go do it this way. I just don't understand why it feels like so many fans are against players trying to be more assertive when it comes to destinations or landing spots or whatever it may be.
I wonder if, and I've always felt like the biggest disconnect between fans and the players is money, because it goes back to that question we've asked before. Should we know that LeBron makes X amount of dollars or De'Aaron Fox or pick your player? We know the owners are wealthy, but we don't know that number. Like, what's ownership get this year? What are they getting? What's their share? We're seeing that the Kings signed this player for $18 million and the Cavs signed this player for $27 million. Mm-hmm. That is a very tangible, grabbable fact that we can and say they're getting that much, even though we should all realize that ownership's still making more money. Remember,
right.
They get a higher percentage than the players. But I feel like because we know what a player is attached to salary-wise – that might be something where the disconnect is with a fan saying, oh, I'd make my free throws if I was getting paid $20 million. You know, the silly thing. Like, I'd get back on defense if I would. Would you? I mean, would you?
Mm-hmm.
You're upset with your whatever. Whatever the situation, it's we can't put ourselves in that position. You immediately say, well, if I made that money, I'd do everything I could. We don't know that. You don't know until you're put in that spot. And someone at your own job, you might say, if you make $80,000, someone below you, like, you know what? I'm only making 40. You know what I would do if I made $80,000? It's the same. It's a different scale. But
it's the same thing.
It is the same thing. Same like, how conversation. Could that guy take a two-hour lunch? He's making $80,000. Mm-hmm. I'm making 40, and I'm here. Same argument, just much different scale.
Have we had this argument before? I'm trying to think if we've had
similar. Not ownership to.
Not ownership.
But no. I don't know why the fans. Yeah, I think I'm more for the players in that.
Right, which is why when I see things, owners got to do something about this. Owners need to stand up and take a step. Like, I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Like, why? You, I feel like most people listening should, like I told you, no matter the argument, used to tell Ken this all the time because he would, you know, we would have this fight. I'll always, even in the most egregious argument, I will stand with the player.
Mm-hmm.
I will stand with the player against the owner 10 times out of 10. Because while I can't relate to an $80 million contract, I can relate to the player. Because a player is the employee. The owner is the employer. And at this point in my life, I'm a player.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to ride with them. And if they want to influence where they can play or will they be happy or whatever excuse you come up with to want to leave, whether it's
be bothered by that. Like, I want to be in Hollywood. Okay. Well, that's mm-hmm. their choice.
Yeah.
Yeah, if they can get there.
Right. I mean, I can't work with this Jason Ross, man. He's too much. You got to trade me to the night show.
Mm-hmm.
Trade me to the morning show.
Right. Anywhere but midday.
Send me here. I can't do it. I can't. Let's work at. We'll send Damon and Chris to the afternoons for Doug.
Yeah.
Can work it out. Make it happen. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's. I feel like that's so much more relatable.
Right. And then for fans to say no, the ownership has to take a stand. Like, what's the benefit there? Like, if Kyrie Irving really wants out, what's the stance the ownership's? Yes, they don't have to trade him. But do you want your two alpha dogs to be fighting? Is that going to be a winning situation?
And that's the other thing that I'm not sure. Because, you know, when we were playing Fantasy General Manager on Friday, because we had, if you weren't with us Friday, we had a blast with this story. And we tried to work out trades for all four teams on his list, and Jason was
you
just
weren't
being,
acting like a player.
No, we weren't players at the time. I was a general manager.
I didn't like that hat.
And
on you.
You were. Well, I didn't like that hat on you either. Because
you take that back.
You said no on everything. You wouldn't accept the trade for Kyrie Irving. And
I was trying to make my team better.
One of your lines were, but that's not how the NBA works anymore. We trade assets. Haven't you been paying attention to Danny Ainge all these years? It's about assets.
I haven't been able to make a deal with him either.
Nobody has been able to make a deal with Danny Ainge. But you kept saying the line, you know what, I don't have to trade him.
Yeah.
And the truth is you don't. You have him for 2 years. He has an opt-in that third year. But you have him for this season and next season guaranteed, which is, one, why he's such a sexy trade asset, and two, let's go back to what you just said. You don't have to trade him, right? Okay, cool. How's that media session going to go when he comes in that first day of the NBA
media
season?
Day?
Yeah. How's that going to go?
What's your relationship like with LeBron? Did you mean those, he's peppered. Absolutely peppered.
And how's that go?
And LeBron, same thing.
And this is a team with a player already that has 1 to 2 induced panics a season.
Right.
Whether it's in February where we need playmakers, we need someone who can handle the ball, we need A, B, C, D, E, F, and G, or it's in May, when it's in March heading into April, mid-April, they're not going to finish with the number one seed.
Right.
Can Boston get them? Can Washington get them? Can they even compete with the Golden State Warriors? Are they going to be eliminated before even getting to the conference finals? It's all this like fake induced panic. So now you have a real life situation that you have to worry about. You've been a player today. You've been a general manager. Mm-hmm. Put your owner hat on now, Jason.
Yeah.
You going to go for that?
See, that's I wonder if ownership now removes themselves from that. Like, well, I don't have to answer these questions. And that's part of maybe where the issue is, right? General managers have to.
Okay.
Players have to. Coaches have to. Who's getting to Dan Gilbert?
Cool. Good
who's
point.
Getting to me?
Go to my first year general manager who was the third string on the team last
right.
year. Go to him. Let's have him answer these questions. Let's go to Ty Lue.
Right.
Who everyone believe? I think Ty Lue is a fantastic coach.
Mm-hmm.
People think Ty Lue is the coach because LeBron James wanted Ty Lue as the coach. And maybe there is a certain degree of truth to that. While I think he is perfectly capable of answering those questions, how does that affect his game plan from day to day while he's trying to go out
right.
there and figure out, if nothing else, how to beat the Golden State Warriors?
Yeah, and it's so many layers. We go right to LeBron. We go right to Kyrie. But honestly, Iman Shumpert gets asked about it. Richard Sheffield, people's angle might be, well, I'm not going to get much from them. Let me see how this affects Kyle Korver. If Derrick Rose signs, hey, Derrick, what do you think about this relationship going forward? You know, those kind of things. It's Kevin Love, all these other guys will get asked about it as opposed to even the main guys.
Everybody. Richard Jefferson was already
right,
asked
already
about
commented
it.
On
Richard
it.
Jefferson's trying to be on vacation,
right.
and he's being contacted by reporters to answer this. Channing Frye is going to have to answer.
Yep.
Tristan Thompson. You really want Tristan Thompson to stand up there and have to address this situation?
Not really.
What's his Kardashian girlfriend? She's going to be asked about it. Everybody associated
yeah.
with – Adam Silver is going to be asked about it. Everybody associated with the NBA and the Cleveland Cavaliers is going to be associated with. So I ask you again, as an owner, whether you're speaking about it publicly or not, do you want to deal with that? Do you think that that's good for your franchise? Do you think under that situation, Jason Ross, the owner of the Cleveland Cavaliers, that you could be playing in June?
Under that, sir, yeah, I would still say I have the best players. Yeah, I can.
This is a
you
team.
Figure it out.
This is a team that we have seen lose repeatedly during the season
mm-hmm.
for what we feel like is no reason.
Right.
Now we hear about these pep talks that they have later and LeBroning on social media. We hear about that. I know they win when it counts, but is this the time that it carries over where there's the differences there are too much?
I've never not seen them win when it counts. I mean, we could go to the finals and say they didn't beat the Warriors. Yeah, true. But the year before they did, and the year before that, they were competitive without two of their players. So this group as constructed, I know, has made it to the finals three times, no matter what circus has happened all year.
Okay, we get to the finals four times.
Mm-hmm.
LeBron's gone. Guess whose value just plummeted?
Yeah.
Because he's in a contract year now. Now, that list he put out,
right?
You might want to pay attention to that. Because he can go to Minnesota and probably won't sign an extension during the season, but you can do the old Kevin Love wink wink. I'll holler at you when the season's over.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
I
can't tell you I'm not going anywhere. I can't sign anything that says I'm not going anywhere. But you'll receive a mysterious letter from a guy at a radio station in Sacramento that will tell you I'm staying.
Yeah.
Just believe him.
Well, I also might, in the meantime, be going to Kyrie and saying, you wanted to be the man. You're going to be the man. LeBron is going to leave. We're going to free up some money. Who would you like with you? I'm going to bring that player in with you.
But what about what we discussed earlier? I'm going to constantly be compared to we went to four straight finals.
True.
I'm constantly saddled with that. Anything but a fifth straight finals appearance
yeah.
is a failure.
Right. Well, then you're going to have to play out the one more year, and we'll see you later.
And then you're going to lose them for nothing, Jason?
I don't want that, but...
Boy, you're a hard-ass owner more yeah. than you are a general manager. Jeez.
You want to call me up for getting another trade?
No,
dang it.
I don't. Okay, so a little insight here. Real quick, though, the 1140 Street Team sponsored by Loyal Roots will be at Folsom... will be in Folsom this week for Folsom Thursday Concerts. Come find the 1140 tent. For awesome prizes, that's historic Folsom, 905 Sutter Street. What movie? Just Deep Blue Sea.
Yes,
that just came up about the shark.
Yeah.
We have yet to discuss Michael Phelps' race versus the shark last night.
Correct.
Did you watch that?
I did not.
In its entirety.
I did not.
I don't recommend you do. Yeah. Although it's good.
Too many people complaining about it today.
What channel? Well,
Shark Week,
Discovery Channel.
Yes.
That's what it is. They put together compelling television.
They do.
It appeared to me, first of all, the shark won. Sorry. It's sport.
Wait, what?
You can't. Come on, man. This is live sports. We
Everybody
can't keep
knows.
It a secret.
Yeah.
The shark won by 2 seconds. Even though Michael Phelps, I think he false started.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure Michael, he went on
Review
go,
the tape.
But it sure looked like the shark hadn't made that turn yet because of the way that they had whatever okay. they were doing. I actually found it rather entertaining.
Okay, but a lot of people didn't. They were bothered by it. Like they thought he was really like going to be right next to a shark racing it.
Really?
I think so.
Come on.
Well, I thought there was
freaking shark.
Some other way they could do it. But whatever, it was fine.
Shouldn't put the shark in the pool, do a kick turn?
Advantage Phelps.
Yeah, you got to turn. It's definitely Advantage Phelps. Well,
same pool, no partitions. Advantage shark.
Any other situation, advantage shark.
Yeah.
Michael Phelps had a fin on. Is that fair?
No.
See? But it was cold water.
Did the shark have shoes on?
No.
Okay.
Did Michael Phelps have shoes on?
No, he had a fin.
Oh.
Yeah, put tennis shoes on the shark. Even it out.
The problem was they didn't say, hey, is Phelps faster than a shark? They say Phelps is racing a shark.
He raced him.
But the thing was, is he fat? Can he be faster than a shark?
No.
Which is what they're really trying to do. Which the show was, can Phelps be faster than a shark? But they said he's going to race a shark.
Well, he lost.
He didn't race a shark.
He raced it. I saw it. The shark was right next to him, at least
on
the screen.
He raced a shark like back in the Nintendo pad days where you're racing like the rabbit guy and hitting the thing. It was fake. It wasn't real.
I couldn't afford the Nintendo pad.
I never had that. I don't know what
that is. My cousins had it. I couldn't afford it.
I couldn't afford the Nintendo pad or the glove.
Oh, yeah. The glove was a whole nother level, right? I didn't have that.
I was not on that level. We barely had a Nintendo.
Yeah.
Matter of fact. Why are you crapping all over the shark versus Phelps? It wasn't that bad.
Because they said he was going to race a shark.
He didn't race a shark.
He lost.
Phelps got to step his game up.
Yeah.
He said the water was cold. He said he jumped in and he immediately was like, oh, this is tough. This is cold. He said, I think they said it was 20 degrees colder than what he's used to.
Yeah, the shark had home water advantage. So whatever.
Right? Yeah. I mean, I think that's good for 2 seconds. And I think, didn't the shark get to eat something at the end?
Phelps.
It wasn't Phelps. Look, wasn't there something there at the end that he like jumped up and ate?
It wasn't real. It was a CGI shark.
I don't believe that. I think it was real. It looked like, I just thought there was a giant wall there in the ocean and they kept racing.
Was it a smart shark like Deep Blue Sea?
It was not a smart shark like
Like the video of Phelps, it wasn't really Phelps. It was kind of like a CGI Phelps as well.
What are you saying to me right now? that wasn't Phelps that was swimming there in the ocean?
I can't believe this. Had better effects than Discovery Channel.
If the Discovery Channel had LL Cool J, it would have been better.
Yes.
See, now if Phelps was in the next Sharknado where he had to swim faster than a... Like, is he going to beat the shark? I mean, yeah. I mean, that would make sense. But you're saying that he's actually racing a shark and he didn't race a shark.
You've put a great deal of thought into this. I wasn't prepared for that. Is the new Sharknado this week?
I don't know.
It's Shark Week. It's got to be. Like, when is the new Sharknado? What is a shark? What are we up to, five?
I think about five, yeah.
Five. All I know about it is that Johnny Mundo is going to be in it, so.
Have you ever watched a Sharknado?
Unfortunately.
What do you mean, unfortunately? Have you watched...
It's not a good bad movie.
You are out of line. You are so out of line right now.
Piranha is better than Sharknado.
No.
I would say go see Piranha if you want to see something like that.
Have you seen a Sharknado?
I have not.
There's like four of them. You didn't buy into the hype after the first one on social media was talking
about. That's the one I saw the first one. I'm like, I didn't even understand. I'm like, what does that mean? What is everybody writing?
Sharknado.
But I didn't know it. I'm like, what's a What is that? What
is
it talking about?
Is there a disaster happening right now? Like, what is going on?
I didn't know it was NATO. I'm like, Sharknado? What is that? What are they talking about? why don't I know what this is? And then, I didn't see the first one, and then I didn't see any of them.
Well, now you got to watch one.
Do I?
Yes.
All the way through?
You can't follow the plot.
I can't pick up on four?
You can't follow the running storyline. You got to watch the first one.
Yeah.
And then you catch up. You'll be lost. Like, you can't jump in at four in.
I'll say this. I've played a Sharknado slot machine.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Did you win?
No.
Oh.
I just want to get to the bone to see the gimmick.
You're the schmuck that plays slot machines, huh?
Yeah, if they got a fun little gimmick that I can play, it's like, hey, Sharknado, let me give that a whirl.
Don't watch Sharknado.
Let me see if I can get to the bonus.
Then they completely ripped off Evil Dead by giving her, like, getting her hand eaten off and then putting a chainsaw on it.
What?
Yeah. See, I've seen them. The only reason I saw the last
one. Cut himself out of a shark.
See, the only reason I saw the last one was because Seth Rollins is in it, and then they're doing it again with Johnny Mundo.
Well, Chris Jericho was in one.
That's probably why I saw that one, too.
probably one red. Now part of the reason now after the first one, part of the reason to watch Sharknado is to find out who's in it, because everybody makes like guest appearances in it,
like Mark Cuban.
Right. Mark Cuban was in one. Neo was in one. I think Rihanna was in one. I can't remember.
I'd want to be in one.
Oh, totally.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Vivica Fox is in it.
Have you seen them all?
Maybe.
That's a yes. That's a yes.
Maybe I've seen them all.
Is one better than the other?
Well, one is the best.
The first one?
Because one is like, dude, what in the hell is this? But the shock value of how stupid it is fantastic. And now you're like, it can't possibly be dumber than that. After the third one, it jumped the shark, so to speak. It was like, all right, come on. Like, that's enough. And then they made a fourth one, and it was like, come on, guys. Yeah. It's past the point where it's like, okay, we get it. Yeah. It's sharks and tornadoes. Like,
was
I get
the fourth one where it was going to attack Mount Rushmore, and there's like a secret... It's like a secret military base inside Mount Rushmore, and it blew up the Sharknado.
Land shark.
Maybe I missed that. Yeah. I don't necessarily pay attention to it. I just kind of like look at it.
What's the other one, Chris, you said that was like that, that was made, was it Piranha or something?
Piranha, yeah. That's incredible. It's incredible. It's so good. It's at Lake Havasu, and a bunch of piranhas get leaked out, but they're not like regular piranhas. They're piranhas that were, I don't know. They're prehistoric piranhas that come out of this old cave, and from an earthquake, they come and attack the town.
Remember Anaconda?
Yes.
Was it J-Lo and Ice Cube?
Yep. And John Voight? Maybe?
John Voight John has Voight. An amazing accent in
John
that movie.
Voight, J-Lo, and Ice Cube.
Yes.
Did a movie about a giant snake.
Yes. Watched it. Saw it.
But you won't watch Sharknado.
I don't know that I won't. I just didn't. I mean, at this point.
At this
am
point,
I
like, don't
know.
Not now. Right. I feel like you need to watch the first one.
Okay.
You don't need to watch anything after that.
How about Piranha? Will you watch that one? The one Chris just described?
Probably. I'd watch it.
Yeah.
If I can watch WWE Battleground last night, I can watch anything.
Yeah.
And it would be half the time.
Elizabeth, she was in Piranha.
Oh, then I'll watch that.
Adam Scott, he's in it. Christopher Lloyd, he's in it.
Really?
Yeah, it's a real who's who of
John Voight
elite.
John Voight. I can't wait for like Christopher Walken to come walking out in like Sharknado 5 or something.
Makes sense.
Segue. Andrew Luck's going to start camp on the physically unable to perform list. I don't believe this has anything to do with Sharknado or Piranha. Yeah.
But does it have anything to do with your love for the Colts last year that you had?
Is it my fault that he's hurt?
No, I don't think it's your fault.
I don't think it's no, it's not my fault. They said he's going to be ready for the season to start, but you know how that goes. We did a list, a very early top 10
probably too
list,
early, but that's okay.
Maybe a little bit. We'll do our real list as the season gets closer, as the real season gets closer. We're a couple of days away from NFL training camp kicking off. Andrew Luck. Right now, yes or no, a top 10 quarterback?
I feel like the answer is yes, but the more I think about it, like it's not a – I felt like a year or two ago I'd say, of course, no doubt. I don't even know why you would ask. But now I feel like there's some hesitation. Like I'd really have to lay them all out there, look at them, pros and cons. I feel like there's more thinking to it. But I would still lean yes, but I could easily see if I put a few guys down to paper and went, oh, maybe he's actually on the outside looking in.
Top 8.
Right on that bubble. Right about there.
I had a really hard time putting him in the top 10 when we did that. Like he was like I was more comfortable putting Matt Stafford in there than Andrew Luck.
But let's assume here's how I'll do it. Let's assume no injuries and everybody in the NFL, which is impossible to do, but everybody has whatever is considered a good year. Like if Andrew Luck has a good year. And he's healthy. Isn't he top 10?
Well, see, that's actually a great segue to my next question. Andrew Luck was the number one overall pick. Massive, massive expectations. He's been good. Has he ever been great?
I think he's been pretty close to that. Close. Maybe not for long enough stretches, but...
When
they made that AFC Championship game, the roster that's not amazing.
Did they?
Isn't that Deflategate? Or was that the semis?
Oh, Deflategate.
Yeah. That was the AFC Championship game.
No. Wasn't it the game before? Wasn't it the Ravens that were in the AFC Championship game? Either way, whatever. But is there any circumstance that Andrew Luck could be considered a bust? Given the expectations that were put on him when he came out, he was the next big thing, but it wasn't next. He was being drafted, and he was now the big thing. He was expected to come straight from Stanford and be one of the top handfuls of quarterbacks in the entire league. And I like Andrew Luck. You know my stupid love for Andrew Luck and the Colts. But I just wonder, given his pick, the expectations, is there a situation where you could look and go,
I don't think it didn't work out. I don't think so. I mean, it would have to be like no more football for him at this point. And like just or when he does play, it's terrible. I mean, I wouldn't say he'd fall in the line of the bust.
I mean, we use the word bust with guys who like Ryan Leaf.
Right,
like
exactly.
Super
He's not
extremes.
That.
But when you talk about guys who had massive, massive expectations on him, and oh, by the way, the guy that they got rid of that he replaced, not bad.
Right.
That immediately made the expectations even greater.
Yeah. I mean, he's not Jamarcus Russell. He's
sure.
not Leaf, but.
But I don't think that Jamarcus or Ryan Leaf, either of those guys, had the expectations on him that Andrew Luck had when he came out.
I don't know.
Maybe Leaf did. I don't know. I don't feel like Jamarcus Russell did.
When you're picked that high, well.
Look, you're expected to carry your team when you're picked number one overall, especially
right.
as a quarterback. But all of the circumstances surrounding – and look, I like Andrew Luck.
Yeah.
I do, and I hope he's healthy and ready to play. But I just – I look over the, you know, the last couple of years, and it's like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Right.
I really don't know. We'll wrap this up. Hey, guess who's coming to a Hall of Fame ceremony soon? Oh, I hope not. But he's certainly able to. We'll explain next. Solving all the league's problems and giving you your to-watch list.
Yeah.
Just another day here on the Lowdown.
Exactly.
Thank you for being with us. That's Jason. I'm Damian. We didn't touch on Draymond Green today. I know in the world of the NBA, Draymond's, I guess, considered a good trash talker. I know Warriors fans love him. He's a little out of his element when he tries to go after Conor McGregor, who is an all-time trash talker who can bait the world's greatest fighters into losing in one punch, which is what I believe he did with Jose Aldo. But Conor McGregor posted a picture on Instagram yesterday of him walking around in a Warriors jersey with the number 23. Draymond Green caught whiff of that, wrote in the comments section, "We rocking with Floyd, bro, not you. Take that off, bruh," and tagged Conor McGregor in it. Floyd Mayweather followed up, "Splash for the cash, hashtag Warriors." Conor follows it up, "That's CJ Watson, mate. I don't know who the F you are. No disrespect, though, kid. Keep hustling and stay in school."
Wow.
CJ Watson slept with Floyd Mayweather's wife or ex-wife or ex-girlfriend or whatever it was, and was actually the focal point of one of Floyd Mayweather's several domestic violence issues.
Gotcha.
So Conor trolled both Floyd and punk Draymond Green. And Draymond's response was so whack. It's like, dude, no one's ever going to wear that jersey when I'm done with it. I'm an Olympian and a defense. It's like, dude, when you have to explain yourself, you lost.
Right.
You lost bad. No better next time. You're good on
Conor
the court.
Conor got 2-1.
Oh, he killed them both. And it's like, he went and got a C.J. Watson Warriors jersey. Did anybody know?
The only one ever made.
Only one.
Yeah.
Easily the only one. I think it's tucked in. Yeah. You have to be a special kind of someone to tuck in your jersey.
Yeah.
That is some next level stuff.
He was checking into the game.
Indeed he did. Tickets for the fight went on sale through some sort of Ticketmaster deal today. Ticket prices ranged from $500, $1,500, $2,500, $3,500, $5,000, $7,500, and topped off at $10,000. Now, keep in mind, Ticketmaster has a 8.5% service fee. Mm. So a $7,500 ticket has a service fee of $637.50.
I'll take four.
put those on the old Amex already,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah, just why not? Good
take,
seats.
Take the kids.
Yeah.
Take the family because it's been such
family. It should last a long time.
It might.
Yeah.
It's been such family fun so far. Take the kids out
it's
to Vegas.
For everybody.
I mean, Vegas is a family town anyways.
It is, yeah.
Dear God.
But people will do it, right? People will do it.
Certain people will.
Yeah.
Not me.
To be seen. No, more so than. Yeah,
and that's
there.
What
it's
it
event.
Is. I mean, I'm sure there's no comp tickets for it. So at least I certainly would hope with ticket prices like that, there's no comp tickets for it. So I'm certain everyone who, you know, this is August 26th, every rapper who has an album coming out, every actor who has a movie coming out wants to be noticed. And really, their agents and agencies are buying up those tickets so they can divvy them out to their clients.
Right.
We want you to be there. We want you to sit here. We want you to be here. We want you to do this, do that, do all this stuff while you're there. That's what big fights are.
Yeah.
That's why I got a kick out of when I met the guy at Madison Square Garden who's in charge of who sits where in the elite seats.
Right.
Like one guy
has to figure out,
holds the key.
Yeah, the pecking order.
To who's in the front row and who's in the third row. Same in Los Angeles. Yeah. The whole. I freaking love that. I think that's the, you have to have, that's the best job ever that you want no one to know that you have.
Yeah. And once you've been seated, you're probably fine. But it's like, ooh, they're probably a row two. I have them in row one. Oh, well. No, you're not moving those people out once you put them there, are you?
Well, no. Well, you can't. But how do you feel if you're, I don't know, Chris Rock, right? And you're sitting in, you know, row four, but you look up and, like, Will Ferrell is in the front row. You know, Will Ferrell is next to Jack.
Right.
Or
whoever,
Whoever. Yeah, anybody. Interchange any two stars.
Yeah.
Doesn't that piss you off a little
Probably.
Bit?
Probably. Yeah. What are they not doing courtside?
Why am I back here?
Right.
Like what am I doing? The NFL actually had to acknowledge this. O.J. Simpson can go to Hall of Fame ceremonies.
He can. He's allowed to.
And nothing can be done about that.
Right.
So, I mean,
if he wants to.
I'm sure the NFL is quietly thrilled that parole isn't until October 1st. So now they have 10 months to where they don't have to worry
next
about
next year's Hall of Fame.
They don't have, but he might not have a yellow gold jacket anymore. Might have gotten repossessed or you know, sold off or whatever.
Who knows?
It may have been in the house, and he may not have that stuff anymore.
Yeah,
because you can't get in unless you got your gold jacket.
Right. Hmm. And those things, when we went to Super Bowl week to see some of those guys that have them, and the detail on inside, they all have a number, whatever Hall of Fame number you are, not your jersey number, whatever number you are going in, that's the number you're associated to, and that's an exclusive club. But I'd be interested to see what some of those guys think about him, if he does go ever.
Does Berman interview OJ?
No. I don't feel like that's his thing.
Really? Berman?
Well, what would he – I don't feel like he'd be the heavy hitter trying to get
– Of course he wouldn't be the heavy hitter. But if Chris Berman can say, I got O.J. Simpson.
I guess.
I think he still gets a certain
– I bet he has that cachet, but it's like
– No, but I mean, I still think he has a certain level of ego to where he could say, yeah, I'm the one who got O.J.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I know, he's still the host for the Hall of Fame. That's an NFL deal.
What's that interview like, though? You talking football with him?
I heard Dan Patrick tell the story the day of the when he was still at ESPN, the day of the parole, or might have been the day after, that they tried to do a football thing with OJ. It was taped, and he said it was the most embarrassing moment of his career because they tried to ask him football questions because obviously he's a very smart. He was an analyst.
Sure,
that's lost in history too.
Of course.
He was an NBC analyst who was very good. He said when they were changing tapes that O.J. asked him if he thought he killed those two people.
No.
And those were the terms that he was the line he said he used. He said he asked him, do you think I killed those people? Or I'm sorry, that's not how he asked Dan. He said, do you think I did it? And Dan made him acknowledge. He said, do what? Do you think I killed those two people? And Dan said, yes. And then the producer's off in the back. Okay, we're ready.
Wow. Awkward.
But he said it was the most embarrassing thing he'd ever done because he was asking a guy who everyone believed was a murderer questions about football.
Yeah.
So maybe those lessons have been learned. But we're so far removed from it. The Hall of Fame comes around. OJ, and you know, we saw from the parole hearing, OJ is still going to walk around and yuck it up.
Oh, absolutely.
He's going to make people laugh, or he's going to attempt to make people laugh and socialize and see his brothers and his family. That whole thing. We're a family here.
Right.
Wouldn't surprise me. This is the network, by the way, that gives LeVar Ball a forum every time the opportunity presents itself. Maybe the standard's too high for ESPN. What if it's Fox Sports 1? Fox Sports 1 goes to him and says, Jukes, you want to do an interview here at the Football Hall of Fame?
Of anybody, that's a network that needs it.
No, that's one that I could.
Desperate times.
That's one I could see. He would do an interview. Now the text line jumping in. He'd do an interview if it was Jim Gray. That's probably very true. What network is Jim Gray with? We appreciate you so much for being with us. That's Jason Ross. I'm Damian Barling. We're back tomorrow at noon.